League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hang in there, it is.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show. What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of The Smiley Show. We have a lot to get to today, and we're just going to get right into it because I am joined now by a man who is fresh off his second win on the PGA Tour. He fired a final round 62 to take home the hardware at the John Deere Classic. Sepp Straka, congrats on the dub, my man.
Thanks, Smiley. Appreciate you having me.
Did you get any sleep last night?
A little bit. And the adrenaline was still pumping pretty good. But yeah, I got a little sleep.
Hey, what time did you get? All right, so you get home around 9:30. What time did you finally fall asleep?
Probably midnight, and then woke back up at 2 a.m. and stayed up for about an hour and a half and kind of pieced it together last night.
Oh, gosh. It's the best, though. It's the best type of adrenaline. You're the best in the fact that you're the most simple man in the world as far as like when it comes to communication, cell phones. And I'm sitting there texting your twin brother Sam last night. I was like, hey, do you think Sepp would want to come on for like 15 minutes? He's like, yeah, dude, I got you set up, whatever. And I'm texting your lovely wife Paige, and I'm thinking in my head, there's no way I can get in touch with you because your cell phone might as well be like a fishing hook line out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a day like today. Because first off, you're not great with your phone and you'd rather never look at a phone. But two, you have like an awesome like setup with your phone, if you can kind of describe that.
Yeah, so it's basically a smartphone, but it doesn't do any of the apps or social media, nothing like that. So it does group text, it does maps, but that's just about it. So yeah, last night was tough texting all the people back, but I got it done. So
I'm just picturing you like text everybody, like, you know, in the old, one through nine, and you have to like hit
the
amount of,
I
just picture you doing that all night last night and Paige trying to sleep, you making all this noise on your flip phone.
No, it actually is it's a touch screen. So that is nice. I used to have a flip phone and that was a nightmare. So, the touch screen definitely helped that out a lot.
I mean, you came up to the, on the first tee at LA, and you're sitting there bragging about this new phone you got. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is epic. You're the man for having that type of style, if you will, that dad style. All right. So if I told you on Thursday on the 17th hole that you were going to win this golf tournament, would you have believed me? You were sitting at 3 over par at the John Deere Classic, where you're just like, man, am I going to make the cut? But you end up winning the golf tournament. Would you have believed me?
Absolutely not. No, I thought I was going to, I didn't even think I was going to make the cut the way I was putting, but luckily kind of flipped the putting around and man, it got hot. So
what changed with the putter?
My hands were getting a little low. My Tim Yelverton, my putting coach, texted me on Thursday night and he was like, hey, your toe is sticking up a little bit. Just try to keep those hands high. So I went out the next morning, did that in the warm up, felt pretty good. And obviously during the round, it felt great. Just couldn't really miss on Friday. So yeah, it worked out pretty nice.
I mean, you must have been, you got it going the rest of the week. You just continued to make birdies and hardly making any bogeys at all. But really Sunday, man, like yesterday, you looked like the Atlanta Braves out there as far as just that hot start you got out to. I mean, you shoot 28 on the front nine. At what point where you're like, oh my gosh, I could win this golf tournament and I could shoot something in the 50s. It's like something that nobody has to deal with.
Yeah, the 50 number kind of popped in my head when I birdied 13. But you know,
not even earlier with the 28, like you shoot 28. I would be like, uh-oh.
I didn't even realize I shot 28. I didn't realize it was par 35. So I had no clue that I had shot 28. And but when I thought about it, I was like, man, if I just birdie a few of these coming in, I definitely have a chance. But, you know, I didn't really try to let it affect my game plan at all. I played fairly conservatively as I had all week off the tee. Just try to get in play and let my iron play kind of take advantage of that.
And you birdied 12 yesterday, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that has to be the birdie where like, man, because that was on the top shelf yesterday. That's not the easiest birdie on that golf course. That one I would have thought would have been like, hold on, let me check my scorecard and see where I stand. But it was the birdie after 13. That's a little surprising.
Yeah. No, 12 was probably the best birdie I had for sure. That hole played pretty tough all week. And that back pin on the back shelf, it's hard to get it back there, especially in that situation.
Yeah, what'd you hit there?
I hit 6 iron. Yeah, we had a perfect number. I think it was like 210 to cover it on the top shelf with just the breath of downwind. So I knew just a good 6 iron would just land right on top, and it did. And it was perfect. It was a good perfect storm.
Yeah, so you birdie 12, birdie 13. Well, you birdied 11 as well, but and you go and birdie the easy 14th. So now you got 15, 18.
Easy for some. 14. Easy for... I was one over on the week on 14.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a stat.
I finally got that one on Sunday.
You were leading the tournament, but also you were leading the field in bogeys on the easy 14th hole.
That's right.
That's a tough scene. So you finished 14. I'm curious now for you, how hard was it to stay in the present once you've kind of finished that 13th, 14th hole? Most of the time there's a weight on that 14th tee too. So you start to have to deal with all the emotions of winning a golf tournament, which winning on the PGA Tour ain't easy.
It's not, no. It was hard to stay in the present, but I think it was easier because I was so far ahead of the leaders. I mean, I had no idea what could happen behind me. I just made, I don't know how many birdies and an eagle in that round, so I knew that it was out there, right? So I knew how to kind of keep my foot on the gas and just try to keep executing. But I think being an hour and a half before the leaders definitely helped me in that way, just because I had no clue how this was going to play out.
Yeah, did it help at all having a new caddy on the bag for the week, Dewey, guy that has so much experience with kids over the years, especially over the last hour? Did you find his experience or just like somebody different in there help you kind of get through that finish line?
Yeah, Dewey did a great job. He's the man. He's an incredible caddy. 15, he was immediately on 3 wood. We'd hit driver all week, but I think on 13 I hit a drive that had, I don't know what the ball speed was, but it was definitely up from my normal numbers. And I think he kind of felt that. And 15, if we hit driver, it probably would have run down into a pretty narrow part of the fairway and probably into the rough. So he kind of threw the 3 wood in there on me, and that worked out great.
Surprised? Yeah. Were you surprised when he said, hey, it's a 3 wood here? And you're just like, okay.
Not really, because I was kind of going to ask him, you know, could it be one less? But he beat me to it. He said, I think it's one less today. It'll stay on top. And with that left pin, you can kind of attack it with your shot shape. And yeah, and even on 18, you know, when I hit in the water, it's honestly, it was cool to see him work, because on Thursday he was exactly the same guy as he was on Sunday. You know, we were 3 over and nothing changed. Sunday, when I hit in the water, nothing changed. It's just on to the next shot. He was more in the present, I think, than I even was.
That's a good thing to have.
That was huge to have on my side, and man, he did a great job.
Well, yeah, let's go back to the 18th hole. You need a birdie to shoot a 59. You hit a great 3 wood in the middle of the fairway, which I thought was a smart play. And you left yourself kind of somewhere in between that 185 to 190 number, it looked like on TV. Was that about right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was about 190 hole. Yeah.
So was that the, was that 7 iron? Was that a perfect number for that backhoe location? Were y'all kind of between like what to do on that shot? They said it was a 7 iron on TV.
Yeah. It was an 8 iron. It was a really good number. It was, if anything, maybe going to come up 5 yards short, which, you know, that pin is perfect. And our land number was 5 yards short. So, it was a perfect number. We were just trying to hit it over down the middle of the green because everything slopes left anyways. But I just made a bad swing. I pulled it and the wind was on the right. So that's not my favorite when I started left.
Did that surprise you when it took off? You're like, really? Did I just do that?
Yeah, it did. Because I felt like I made a good swing, you know, it just started left. And I guess I just shut the club face down a little bit. But it definitely surprised me a little bit. I'd been seeing it come out of the same window all day or the last 3 days, really. And then when I looked up and it was already left of the pin, I knew I was in trouble.
You know, I when you got up there, I was a little surprised that it crossed so far back and you had about like 100 yards. And I was thinking you were going to have something around like 40 or 50 yards. But I mean, even that next shot, it's not crazy easy considering the circumstances. You hit a nice little wedge shot.
Yeah, no doubt. We had been hitting our wedge numbers really well all week, which on that course is really important because you got to control your spin. You got to land it pin high with little spin. So you're taking a lot off of the wedges. And that was a huge shot. I didn't end up making the putt, but that shot was really one of my better ones to kind of after that pull, give myself a chance to make bogey there.
So did you get the calculator out on 18 green? Are you thinking, okay, I got this putt for 5. I don't even know what it is to shoot, but I'm sitting here. Did you get a chance to take a look at the leaderboard to see at least how many shot lead you had at that point?
I kind of looked at the leaderboard all day, but again, I was an hour and a half ahead of those guys on that golf course. I mean, there's no telling. They could birdie the last 5, no problem. So I just knew that if I made the putt, it would be pretty big. And I unfortunately misread it a little bit, hit a good putt and just missed it on the low side. But I had no clue what it could be for.
What was your gut feeling when you missed that putt? Did you think that was like, man, did I just blow it?
Not really. I thought I definitely had a good chance at a playoff. I definitely thought I had a good chance at a playoff because, you know, playing under pressure is tough. It's tough when you're trying to win out there. And I felt it all day. I knew I definitely had a chance for a playoff. I didn't think I'd win by 2. But again, you know, playing under pressure, especially in the last group, you know, it's tough to keep making birdies in that last group. And I was very fortunate.
Well, was that the most prize money ever won by a rental house of all time, you think?
Yeah, we were all kind of up there. Patton let us down, though. He missed the cut.
Man. So who all was in there? It was you, Sig, Patton,
JT, Denny.
Denny was there, too.
Jason, Denny,
was B-Todd in there or no?
No, Kirk.
Kirk, okay. I didn't know if you were battling B-Todd down the stretch with him being in the same house, ever happens, right?
He stayed in the house last year, but he dropped out this year, so I got in there, yeah.
I need to calculate the money earned at the John Deere Classic by that frat house because I think y'all could probably buy that house and for the next however many years you want to stay there.
Yeah, I hope they don't go up on their rent next year.
All right, so how many Diet Cokes did we have to celebrate yesterday?
I had a few on the plane. Yeah, I had probably 2 or 3 just to sip a little Diet Coke and reply some text messages. Kind of nice.
Yeah. All right. So what are the goals for the rest of the year? Obviously Ryder Cup's got to be on the forefront of your mind. What, I mean, did that do anything for you in your mind? Or are you just kind of still one tournament after another, as far as, you know, the rest of the season goes for you?
Yeah, I definitely think it was big. I think, you know, there's a lot of picks. So I think playing well leading into the Ryder Cup is kind of big. So, it's nice to come into form and I'm playing some good golf, this time of year. And yeah, we'll see what happens. I just got to try to, you know, take one tournament at a time and post some good results.
Well, I look forward to watching, man. And I told my producer, Charlie, heading into the week, I was like, man, once Sepp starts finding a little something in his game, he is always up around the lead. And I had a weird feeling you're going to have a great week. And I probably should have told some more people about that feeling. But I'm happy you got the job done, and I hope we get to get some time to celebrate. I'm off to the Scottish Open, but I'll see you at the Open Championship, where hopefully you can carry that momentum from that final round 62 and go get that thing done at the Open Championship.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll see you over there. Are you going to play any golf in Scotland?
I am going to bring the clubs. It is pretty much my my Open Championship week in Scotland this coming week, where I'm going to try to play as much golf as I can with my TV commitments. But man, why wouldn't you, right? Hit some stingers out there.
You got to get out on the North Berwick if you can. That place is
we're staying like right on it. Apparently we're going to try to sneak our way out there in the late evening. So I'm going to take like a little IPA out there, if that's a thing over in Scotland, and just enjoy the walk.
Yeah, I might have to go for a Guinness or some sort of a Scottish beer, but
yeah, that could be the play. That could be the play.
Yeah, you'll have a good time.
All right, man. Well, safe travels. Enjoy the week this week with Paige and fam celebrating this win, and hope to see. Maybe we'll have to play the finger game at walk-ons at some point whenever we get all the boys together for the Wolf Snake Cup. But until then, man, congrats and really good stuff.
Sounds good. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, Smile.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. Thanks, Seb.
Great to hear from Sepp Straka after a win at the John Deere. We got some just clerical items, just a random grab bag of content here that's worth getting into, Smiley. And I think the best place to start was with the most recent guest on the show, Ricky Fowler, and the rest of the Spring Break crew, also friends of the pod and including friends of yours, making a splash at Wimbledon. Had some pretty sweet threads. Saw some dapper three-piece suits. They were kind of lighting the meme world on fire. We had a lot of great content coming out of their cameo at Wimbledon on Sunday. So just top line thoughts there. How'd the boys do? Give us a little breakdown of the dress, of the general, you know, the behavior. I want to hear it all from you.
Yeah, Charlie, I was pretty bummed and jealous. Francie and I weren't able to join. Luckily, they play Wimbledon every year unless there's COVID for the most part. So we figured we'd join on another year. Our little 5-month-old at home needed a little bit more tending to at this point. So we're going to see if Francie can go to Rome for the Ryder Cup. That's kind of the next on our travel agenda. But anyways, yeah, man, the suits, there was a lot of time put into those suits. As boys were kind of that was something they were wanted to get right, you know, like, cause you know, you're going to end up being on TV. Like those guys are, very famous, and, you know, they showed some stuff on Wimbledon social media too. Like they were mic'd up and I was laughing. I kind of thought they were going to be in the backgrounds a little bit, but they're on the court, like pre-match and stuff. They were there pretty early in the day. And by the end of the day, the Novak match, man, the group chat, I mean, obviously you saw like what you saw on the, on TV, but man, like it was like the peak where they started the day, they were like fresh. And by the end of the day, they're like, man, I need a bed. It's like, I've been out Wimbledon today and no more for me. I need to go to bed.
Yeah. I think the meme that I saw, I forget which account posted this, but was a caption of, I think it was either JT sitting next to Ricky or JT sitting next to Jordan. And it was like, when you pregame the wedding a little bit too hard, you're fighting to make it to the reception. And it looked like a long day. Look, we've all been there, you know, it's outdoors, you know, it's probably, you know, warm to some degree, especially warm if you're wearing a 3-piece suit. So, you know, listen, that's how it goes. Drinking lots of champagne, having strawberries and whipped cream.
Champagne buzz is a tough deal. Champagne buzz is a really tough deal. Like you sound like the smartest person in the world in your head. Then you start speaking and it just comes out like gibberish. And you're like, what in the world? Like, I can't form a thought. Like it sounds great in my head. And then I start talking. It's like, what did I just say? And that's a morning champagne buzz. I don't know if they were fighting that today, but as far as the suits go, I want to kind of rank, 1, 2, 3. I'm probably gonna go Ricky 1. I really thought his was tied together, probably the best. I think JT's was a very close second. I would say I probably, my style more was Ricky's shoe over JT's shoe, which was the deciding factor for me. I believe he wore more of a darker suede shoe, which I don't really have any suede shoes. I don't even know how to spell suede. So so I feel like that eliminates me from being able to wear suede shoes. But
fair.
And then Jordan at third, but honestly, that is what I would have worn, is what Jordan wore, like more casual. I probably wouldn't have wore a three-piece suit. Would have worn something way more on his side. But his memes, man, were all about him not using an iron and getting his suit steamed out. Apparently it was a little wrinkly, but if there was any person in the world that wouldn't ever think about like traveling with a steamer or being worried about anything being wrinkled, it's that guy. He's like, okay, yeah, it's here. Like, I don't really care if it's wrinkled. I'm just wearing it. I'm just here to have a good time.
You can see it really kind of around the, it's kind of the elbows where it's a little scrunched up, kind of going down the quads and thighs. But see, I just feel like depending on your build and the suit material, that happens so quickly. I can't tell you how many times I've had some formal wear going to a wedding or something, especially when it's warm and you're outside and you're like 25 minutes out. So you don't
wrinkle shame. You're not a wrinkle shamer.
I'm not a wrinkle shamer. I think it just happens naturally. Are you a wrinkle shamer either?
I'm not a wrinkle shamer. I take pride in not having wrinkles when I wear pretty much anything now. I like to steam everything before I wear it in the mornings. And I'm kind of, when I am steaming, it has to, when I start a project, it has to be perfect. But sometimes I never start projects. And so I'm able to live kind of in a hotel room with things kind of everywhere. But when I start the cleanup process, it's going to be clean. But yes. I can live in a hotel room with things everywhere, and then but they're in my organized mess. I know yes. where everything is.
I this resonates so heavily. Like if it makes sense in my head, it can be disorganized as long as I can make sense of it in my brain.
Yes,
which I think is like that's all you really need in life. Like I my mom was in town this last weekend, and she was like, "I really wish I'd made you all make up your bed every morning to get the day started. I think that would have done you well." And I'm like,
"Yeah,
but
you got to get back into it. Yeah,
you got to get back into it."
Yeah, Fran's she's a make the bed gal, and I do like it. I will say when it's made, it does have that different touch to it. I'm on a 2-day cycle with the bed being made, especially in a hotel room. If it's 2 days without it being made, I'm like, okay, I'm living in a pigsty. Like we've got to, because I'm a guy that
but
takes
I embrace the, that. Just
I
like
take
the
that
mess.
Bottom sheet out of the back of the okay. of a bed so I can get it like a burrito. I don't like that all that open space in between
oh,
the sheets.
Got it.
You know what
yep,
I'm talking about?
Yep.
So like I don't like getting in there and having just. I want to be
you
wrapped.
You kick
up.
Out the sheet at the bottom, right?
Yes.
Like so, and then so you can get the feet. Yes.
We tuck it all in.
Yeah. Same. I just like I don't I really Amanda is also a bed maker, and she keeps like nudging me of like, hey, you, like it's such a mess around here. Like, but there's no real gain from having a made bed. Like, I'm just going to get back in and sleep in the next day. And I'm with you. Like, I like all the sheets untucked. I want freedom of movement. I'm like a multiple pillow guy. Like,
it's good for you. Good for you.
So we've really
hold on. One other thing on a hotel thing okay. that I want to ask,
please,
is what order do you put on shampoo, conditioner, body wash?
Oh, this is a good one. And you got to add in face wash there too. I mean, really, you got to keep
body wash, face wash, whatever. Like just your,
wait
your general
do you
soap
use the
category.
Same, do you use the same soap for your face and body?
It just depends. Like I'll use,
ooh.
Answer the question and then we'll get into this other debate.
I go shampoo, conditioner, face wash, body wash. That is the okay. routine because my calculus on that is this, right? You got to do the shampoo before the conditioner, of course, right?
Yes.
The conditioner has lots of like oils and moisturizing things in it. So if you do that after the face wash, naturally the conditioner is trickling down over your face and you're getting stuff into your pores that's not supposed to go into your pores. So you do the conditioner, it does what it does. Then the face wash comes in and cleans it up and gets all that stuff out and gets the face the way it needs to be. And then you do the body wash last because you're washing a lot of areas that you don't want to go back over your face, you know, with
that's fine.
And on the back end.
I get that you like put some thought into it. And
yeah.
my thought on this matter is I love taking showers. I love being in the shower a long time, and whatever elongates my shower is the decisions I make with the shampoo, conditioner, body wash order. It takes longer to use soap and body wash than it does to use the shampoo and conditioner for me. So I think, okay, I can always finish. I'm always going to finish with the body wash last because it takes the longest and I can elongate the body wash. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I did it once. Oh, we might just do, I'll do it again, you know, just because just I got too many good thoughts going on in my brain.
I don't
want to lose a thought in here because I'll have my best ideas in the shower and have no idea like where they came from, just in a different world when I get into a shower. So that's all my,
I love that.
All my big ideas, shower time.
It's a very peaceful place. Like that's also a great place to go if you're really sad. You just kind of put your head underneath the water and you just let it, it just does this thing where it feels like it shuts out all the noise. It's a very calming
place. We know what a shower sounds like and feels like. It's, but I will say,
I hope that's coming through on the podcast.
One of the things that Fran, like she'll take a shower that is like, if out of 10 from a heat standpoint, she can take a 10 for as far as the heat, like the temperature, I can probably withstand like a 6 or 7 on her scale of 10 of it's insane. I don't know how she's able to do it.
Fran are flipped from Amanda and I. I like that thing cranked as hot as I can stand it. And Amanda's like 3 notches beneath that. Let's get it nice and warm here. Let's steam it up. I'm going to attempt to like kind of veer this car back onto the track where we started, but I'm going to make a little pit stop on the way. I got the best steamer hot tip on TikTok this last weekend. You know, like those rope hats that are most frequently made of late by like Imperial, right?
Yeah,
and like they're I'm a big dome guy. So like I you're holding a Deepdale rope hat up. It's the exact profile we're talking about. So I can't do like the low profile ones because it looked like tiny on my head, but I don't like how high the crown sits on the rope hats.
I agree with that.
So you can take a steamer to the front of the crown, run it, just give it like couple minutes on the front, couple minutes on the back. Just go back and forth for a couple minutes.
The poof goes away.
It sits down a little bit. It's a total game changer.
I hate the poof. That's why.
You can't get the structure to go like flat, but what you can do is you can get it to kind of like cave in a relaxed looking way to where it doesn't look like some stand up military hat or something.
I have this great montage Palmetto Bluff hat that I got on the vacay that only couldn't be worn on a vacay. You can't wear anywhere else because of the poof.
I'm telling you, try the steamer on it. Try the steamer front and back. It'll de-poof it. Also, Montage. What a place. Montage Healdsburg. Yeah. One of the best hotel stays of my life. We're doing tangents well right now, dude. I just wanted to get back to one thing on the spring break crew before we head off on our next thread, you could call it. What would you, okay, so let's say next year it works, Anna Carter is of age to travel abroad, you know, you and Fran are heading over there. What's your suit game going to look like? Are we going to see like some tiger purple and yellow? Like what's the ideal?
Very similar to like what Jordan wore.
Can we at least get that in a shade of purple though?
Definitely not like a tie.
Blue there.
I'm not a tie guy.
Okay.
Not a tie guy. Never will be.
Purple's a Wimbledon color. Like you'd be right in the lane there.
Definitely could wear some purple. Definitely some type of suit, but the jacket probably is going to have some type of pattern to it. I love pattern suits. Especially the jacket, maybe not the pant. Yeah, something like that. The real question mark would be like, how do I make my hair look London? That would probably be the biggest question mark is like, what type of hair products people use? I'm pretty like, get out of the shower, get my hair dry and comb my hair over. Like I've never really used a hair product. So I need to figure out how to be more of a London boy, if you will.
See, I think you're so close because I run the same game as you, like side part, that whole deal.
At some point.
Well, you've got like a healthy head of lettuce up there. You're close. Here's what you need to do. So you need like a styling mud and you need to like, before you go to London, you go in and you tell them to give you like a 2 or a 3 kind of fade on the side, like a high tight fade, but you keep the top.
Is this Peaky Blinders?
It's going to be so peaky. It's going to be unbelievable. You're just going to be peaked out for like a month. It's going to be so sick. It'll be London Smiley is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm telling you, dude.
Well, I mean, I'm heading there soon. So I'm going to have a hat on most of the time though, when I'm over there.
That's right. You can do a Rome cut. You can do like a little kind of trial run.
Nah, I'm not quite ready. I got to talk to my barber, Kellen. He's got a lot of big ideas. We're gonna settle in on something at some point.
I like it. Okay, this is where we're gonna put a pin in that one. We're gonna come back to Smiley Hairstyles down the road. Let's talk about threads, dude. I got so much more questions.
So
than
many
answers.
Threads we're talking about. We're talking about suit threads. We're talking about threads now, which is an app. Like so many threads.
We're going off on various threads. A very thread heavy episode today. Let's just begin with what do we think of it? We're a couple days in here. I think this thing dropped on. It was Thursday morning when Threads came out. What's the user experience been for you the first 4 days of Threads?
I've been really, like, I signed up because you text me, he's like, dude, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm like, it's like, what are you talking about? I'm not getting on another dang app. My bandwidth for apps is,
you're so good, you're
is,
so old man
is zero. Like I have my system of my apps. I know how they work. For a guy, I understand social media, I understand technology to a degree once I learn how to do it. But new things, it takes me entirely too long to learn how to like navigate. And I logged on. It's like, I like the black, dark theme of threads. And so I don't know. I mean, how I'm treating it now, I've posted every day since I've gotten on it just once. And I'm treating it like just when I post a GIF, a meme, or a video. And there's going to be no threads. There's going to be no like just Twitter threads like I would normally do. It's going to just have a GIF, meme, or a video. And the only caption that it is allowed is if it has one of those three. So I far, I'm keeping Twitter for my threads, okay. where you're supposed to kind of keep your threads. And now this threads, and I will say the vibes on threads are high. Like there's good vibes over here on threads. Yes. I don't know if it's
vibes are
because
much better.
It's a new thing. Like it's kind of hype over here. So I'm like, I'm leaning into that and seeing where that takes us.
Doing no threads on threads is very meta of you, which is additionally meta because Meta is the holding company that owns threads. So I'd say well done on that strategy. Thursday morning was like, it was like double Christmas because like we were dropping the Ricky Fowler episode, a lot of good like momentum happening there. And it's like, oh, and there's a shiny new toy that we could use at the same time. So I texted you, I texted several other people. I'm just like, got to get on it, dude. You got to do it on it. And then the more I ended up using,
you're not a Twitter guy. You're not a Twitter guy.
I'm out on Twitter. Twitter, I mean, we can do a whole episode on how stupid Twitter is. Somehow, every time I use Twitter, every time I try to engage the platform, like I kind of left Twitter dormant for the better part of a year. And then I came back to it. I'm like, I'm going to give this a fair shot. I'm going to like push our podcast content. Every time I tweet, I lose followers. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? I have a long-term working theory that I'm getting shadow banned. We're not going to delve too deeply into that on today's episode. what we will delve into is like threads is the functionality, admittedly, at this point is pretty terrible. Like nothing seems to make sense.
It's not great. I keep on seeing the same accounts post every time I get on there. I'm like, where do I find like the people that I normally follow? there's like no way to find like the normal Twitter, you know, like or like the for you thing, and then you got the following and non-following. It's like, okay, it's so easy to navigate.
I do the same thing every time I'm on. Like, I probably spend a total of like 4 minutes on threads every time I open it because I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to check threads, and then I'm like, okay, this timeline doesn't make any sense. It's not the people I follow.
There's no theme to it. Yeah.
Do I follow this person? Do I not? There's no. And then I'm like, I'm searching at the bottom. I'm like, where do I go to make sense of this? And then like, I'm realizing I can't go anywhere to make sense of this. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm out until the next time I check threads.
And then you just happen to stumble upon one of my GIFs and memes, and you're like, okay, cool.
I was like, this is why I came. Like, but even then, it's like that needs to be surfaced. I wasn't even getting surfaced the right set of threads. Like at the very least, if I'm sharing content and tagging Smiley in it, you need to be serving me those at the top of my time. There's a lot of work that Threads has to do, but I will say that to your point, the vibes are higher there. I think that I think there's been a gross miscalculation that's been made by taking a generally high vibes place like Instagram, where you're like, yeah, I like everything that's happening here. It's generally positive, and being like, hey, what if we did that, but we changed all the rules to Twitter, which is a place that we almost all universally hate. Like, I think it's going to eventually sour us on our Instagram following as well. Do you find any sort of credibility in that theory?
I don't know. Like, it kind of, I used to really not really enjoy Instagram, and yeah, I was like opposite of you. So, I don't know. Like, it's all cyclical with this stuff, right? Like, there's times where like social media seems to be like great. Like, it seems to all be making sense in your head. Like, especially if you're producing content and stuff like we do, it's like, sometimes you're like, wait, I feel like this social media app is really not helping me out. And you know what I mean? But there's other times you're like, why are you helping me out so much? And so there's sometimes
like we looked at the, woke up to your TikTok with Sam Burns at like 600,000 views. Like,
what in the world? Right. Like, I was like, I mean, I guess it was a sick clip. My man Burns, he bringing us home on that TikTok. Yeah, I mean, if you aren't following me on TikTok, it's hype over there. I still really haven't figured that app out yet, but we are currently in the process of navigating the.
That is a hype scene. One of the hottest up and coming creators on TikTok, Smiley. Got to go check that out. I would say people complain all the time, like, oh, there's too many bots on this platform. None of these things are real. It's like, dude, I don't even care. Just juice all my view counts. Like, I don't care if any of these people are real. Just make me feel good when I open up the app, and then I'll probably keep using it more.
I don't know. Those bots are pretty brutal.
Well, the bots, like, they're good bots and bad bots. You know what I mean? Like, I think we need to start delineating between the two. I'm fine with good bots.
All the bots that are on mine need bonked. Like,
yeah, there's you have a high ride of bonkable bots in your mentions. Although, I mean, she's relentless. That's how I know Threads will feel real. When Rosie shows up on Threads, it'll be like, oh, okay, great, yeah, this is the Twitter experience. Now we're back to normal again.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but
we'll keep. I'm gonna post. My thing is, I'm gonna post once a day on Threads, regardless of how it does or doesn't do. It's like, I'm just gonna have fun with this app. I'm not going to ever read anything on it. I'm gonna use my newspaper. I gotta keep the same newspaper with Twitter. I know where everything is. You know, it's just like my hotel room where I got everything kind of, it's a disorganized chaos, and I know where all my things are. So I'm going to keep reading my morning newspaper over there at Twitter, and kind of see where Threads goes with this meme GIF idea.
Yeah, I'm going to light my morning newspaper on fire and never look at it again and become steadily disconnected from the real world around me and just see what Threads does for me. So we'll just see how each of those strategies works out for us. So to kind of move it on a little bit we've been doing a little bit of a steady weekend golf recap of sorts the last couple of weeks. It's worth checking in on. So what a weekend for you, in a good and a bad way. Seven birdies and an eagle on Saturday, playing a season-long match play at Shoal Creek, yet you somehow still lose 2-1. And by the way, you're playing to a plus 5.2.
I was a plus 4 that day. And
okay.
So we had played one match and I'd made 8 birdies and an eagle. That was like a month or and a half or so ago. I can't remember when that was.
Was this the 66 you shot at June at a course that had 66 or 76.3 rating? Where was that? You have a 66 posted in June and it's a minus. Well, it doesn't show on your gin profile. It's a minus 8.3 differential and it is absolutely hosing your index right now.
I haven't posted since high school on my gin, probably. So okay, maybe Shoal Creek posted it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I guess if I made 8 birdies and eagle, I guess apparently I made 4 bogeys. It sounds like I didn't make very many pars that day.
it sounds like a fun round.
Yeah. The round on, all right. So that round we went on 17. So it's like, man, like what else can I do? Like this seems tough.
what are the handicaps of the guys you're playing against? Cause you gotta be dishing out crazy pops.
We played a 6 handicap and a 8 handicap. And then you add 4 on top of that. So they both got 10 and 12. And
your partner is, what's his index?
My partner is a 4 and he got 8.
So yeah. So they always spins off you in these matches, of course, but it's not like,
when we're playing holes that like when you hit it in the fairway, the greens were soft yesterday because of some rain and we're playing like some, you know, we're not playing the back tees. So it's, you know, just playing the member tees. So it made it really difficult to, you know, it's easy for them to make some pars that are net birdies. Like I added it up and they shot 12 under net and we shot 11 under net.
Wow.
And so, I mean, that's tough. That's I think they shot one under gross and we shot, I guess it was somewhere around like 9 under or so.
6 and 8 shooting one under gross. I think we need the handicap committee to take a little.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I got to talk to the pro and just be like, dude, what else am I supposed to do? Like, but honestly, you know, like it's, I don't really care about the winning as much. It was just really fun to go compete. That's what I told my partner, Frankie Magoo. He's a dude. I love that guy. But anyways, I was telling him, I was like, man, I just loved being out there and like competing. Like it was, I felt like having something on the line again was so fun. Cause I told him, I was like, dude, I don't care about winning this thing. It just felt good to like be in tournament mode and have to make birdies and putts that mattered. Like it mattered, you know, like every, you know what I mean? But like just, I birdied, I made a 20, we were one down going into 15, made a 20 footer on that hole, made a 20 footer on 16, hit driver 5 iron on the green on 17, two putted. So birdie 15, 16, 17. And then we're one down going in 18 and they hit it on the green into like 15 feet. And it was like,
two putt 43.
It was a shot hole. It was like, I was 78 yards away and hit it to like 15 feet as well. And he hit it to like a foot and the match was over. I was like, shit. Like, what else are you supposed to do?
So I'm really curious here. How different is like this competitive mode from tour competitive mode? Like, are you drinking, playing music? Are you like, how close do your routines look to tour? Like, I imagine, like, I hear what you're saying. It makes a ton of sense where like, it's a little bit of the competition without it being so serious, you know what I mean? But it's still just the rush of competition. But is it like, is anything
when I get out there and playing, it's, I mean, like I'm trying, like,
yeah, of course.
So I'm trying to do the best that I can. But as far as like the warm up goes, I mean, no, I hit like four balls and I had like three high noons because there was a rain delay. So
amazing.
So if we're going to get tribute to that, it's like, yeah, like I'm obviously in a more of a fun, relaxed state of mind than I was like playing on tour. But I mean, also your body gets a lot like shoals of walking club. So you get pretty worn out by the end of the round if you have too much, too many cocktails. So I try to keep it on a low count because say my body aches at the end of the day. And even if I'm not having a drink or are drinking, so try to keep it light, but it was fun. I mean, it's fun to play good. Still kind of working through different stuff. I found some really cool stuff with some irons yesterday where I used to aim right pretty much on every iron shot and hit pulls. And I kind of got back into that yesterday with some of my feels of the Pro Sender. Shout out Pro Sender Golf and David Woods and Sean Foley. They had this, guys, I'm gonna go check out that episode if you haven't listened to it. But
did you see, by the way, the screenshot he had? It's some, I forget if it was Friday or Saturday, where it was like the current leaderboard at John Deere and like 2/3 of the guys have been using Pro Sender.
Yeah,
they're like, I mean, the top of the leaderboard. It's pretty cool.
Like for me, like I like feeling that bow in my left wrist now, and the more it stays in that, like on the downswing for me, and like that I rotate out of the top is all a good pattern for me right now. But what really used to be like my feel was an aggressive right shoulder, like one that I could throw at the golf ball. And when I get in trouble, my right shoulder like isn't active. And what happens to me is the handle almost goes towards the golf ball and the handle gets a little high, makes it the release for me. I can't have a low and left release that I like to where I can hold the face off. So to me, it like, I have a high like release where I can't get my left arm to work around me and my shoulders to work around me. So what happens there most of the time is that you can't feel comfortable release in the golf club. So you have like a heel miss that is a pull, or you'll have that miss hit out to the right.
And but, is it like the hands exiting low and left, that's where you get the aim right and then kind of the pull?
Because I can be like, watch Victor Hovland. He's got that same pattern. He aims right and he throws that right shoulder at it, but he's got such a good, strong club face and really good wrist mechanics to where he can go as hard as he wants at it because his aiming right and getting that club head looking at the golf ball sooner because he has such a strong face, he can swing as hard as he wants at it. Just got to hold it off.
And does that ball work left to right? Or is it, you know, like the way you, like, is that coming across it at all to create like a cut sort of, you know, move on?
Typically, yes. But most of the time I would just adjust ball position. So like if I wanted to hit a little bit, one that started a little, like a little draw to it, I would just put it like a tick back in my stance. If I wanted a little up, work it left or right, I just put it a little further up in the stance.
This is good. You know, this is better than watching YouTube videos. I'll say it that way. I mean, listen, I've got some good things to report. I mean, last time we were on here, I was extolling the virtues of the Srixon ZX7s that you sent me in the mail. Thank you once again to you for those. And I think I might have hit the best shot of my life on Saturday. So the eighth hole at Hope Valley is like this kind of par five that works a little bit left to right. It's like one of those where if you hit like a straight tee ball, you're going to go like straight out of bounds. And so you got to kind of like cut the ball a little bit or like just kind of chew off a little bit on the corner, but there's also OB on the right. So I hit my drive like into this fairway bunker on the left side. And so like, usually like there's always,
wait, you know, was this shot? This like six shot was from a fairway bunker.
This was from a fairway bunker.
Oh, dude, I love a really good shot from a fairway bunker. I'm all ears.
and this is one where, like, depending on where I've ended up in the bunker before, like, I've had, you know, trouble with the lip, like, with, like, a pitching wedge. Mm. And so I'm in there. I'm like, oh, I'm hosed. I'm just going to have to, like, hit, like, a gap wedge out. And so I'm looking at it, and, you know, not too dissimilar from the sort of the shot that Matt Fitzpatrick hit at the country club in 2022, where he's, you know, looking at the kind of angles.
Here we go. Now we're comparing it to one of the greatest US Open shots of all time on the 72nd hole. Here we go.
So I got about 215 in to a pin that's kind of front right. And I'm like, looking at the lip here, and I'm saying, okay, if I kind of open up, if I kind of just take maybe like a quarter or half inch off this four iron, kind of open up the face a little bit and just get it clean, like maybe I can just kind of land it short of the green and just have like, you know, a little, you know, lob wedge or a sand wedge in, you know, what if I sit close enough, putt in for birdie, if not two putt for par, get on with the round. I hit this thing absolutely perfect, clears the lip, kind of starts like maybe, you know, on the pin, maybe 5 yards left, just cutting a little bit. This thing lands and sticks right on the front of the green, 10 feet from the pin. And I turn to my playing partners and they're just like, that's one of the greatest shots I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm like, I'm stunned. I don't know what happened there, man.
Those are the shots that keep you coming back, man. It's like, that's the drug of golf right there.
Straight into the vein. I was like, I'm ready just to drive off the golf course. And then it was perfect because the flip side of that was I go up there and I've got like a very makeable 10 footer for eagle that I, of course, pull left of the hole. And yeah, putting is not great right now, but big updates on the putting front. We have a Odyssey Jailbird built to the exact specs of your boy Ricky Fowler's putter that is arriving on Wednesday, down to the lead tape on the bottom. I cannot wait to send you pics. This thing is going to be an absolute beaut. I think it's going to fix everything.
So in your mind, you're like, all right, I got these irons sent to me. I'm going to invest into a putter now.
it's free money now right like
it's like, well, I kind of had this in the golf club pot, I might as well just pour it all in the putter.
Looking over the line, I was budgeting, oh, I just got a couple $100 back on irons, I guess I'm gonna throw that in the putter budget. It's gonna be, I'm so fired up for this thing. It's exact same as Ricky's, except has a white hot insert in the face, which I'm actually kind of a little pumped for that. So you know, TBD on the putting. We'll see. The irons are feeling good right now. Everything's feeling good. We just got to putt a little bit better. And I think it's you know, Cypress father, son, beginning of August.
There you go.
Might be able to take some hardware home. Really excited about that one. What else do we have here? Dad updates. I have just a line here. It says dad updates. I'm not even sure what I wanted to get to at this point. What's the latest with Anna Carter? What are we doing? What's the latest in development? Tell us about it.
She's great, man. These 2 weeks have been awesome. Like, she's changed a ton since like that 3 week stretch that I was on, came back, and like every day it's like, She's so much fun. I just think it's going to get even more and more fun. Like when I get back from the Scottish and the Open, I just feel like she's going to have changed even more. So it's kind of cool. Like I obviously would love to be here every day, but obviously, it's not possible. Got to go make a living. So
what she like 5.5, 6 now. Months?
She's a week away from 6 months. So, we're getting awesome. On it. She's had like 3 new foods. She had some, sweet Ooh. Potatoes, avocados, and carrots since I've been home. So that's been, a first, and she's loving it. And it's messy. It is a lot going on. And my dog Rosie is here for it all. She is, on the finger licking committee, and she makes sure that there's not a spot that's not clean near that little high chair.
That's a real process to manage. That's been like one where we had to figure out with both of our dogs, because the lab, Maxwell will kind of, he kind of takes a position next to Walker on the high chair where he's getting all he's doing the finger licking, mm-hmm. anything Walker's hanging out over the top of the high chair. He's just going to see if he can reach up and grab that. But that's banned. We don't want to encourage that behavior. No. So he's kind of missed out on some scraps the last couple of weeks. Whereas the pit bull just sits right underneath the high chair. And it's anything that he drops in the high chair and it drops down, it's just right there at her nose, snags and goes. So now it's kind of like, Nora, you're taking all the scraps here. You got to kind of cut Maxwell in a little bit here down the road. So managing that one,
I'm with you. I think, like the food things, that's a fun part. I will say the one thing that she's had a regression on is bottle taking.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think it's weird. You know, she was so good at taking a bottle for a long time, but like we Googled like regression taking a bottle at 5 months, and it was like, apparently it happens. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So we're kind of having to get
her. Like a temperature thing or is it?
I think she just likes, just the breastfeeding and the real thing, and just doesn't want to take a bottle for me. And so we got like 80 days to get her bottle ready before we go to the Ryder Cup. Cause I booked some flights for Francie to go over the Ryder Cup in Rome. So that's kind of her first not being there with her full time. So that'll be tough on her. At the same time, it'll be fun to get away to kind of get Anna Carter on this. Like, hey, we can't do this forever.
Yeah. It's so interesting having kids this age. Cause like Walker's obviously like almost, he's about 8.5, almost 9 months. And it's, you have these moments where they make leaps, but mm-hmm. then once they get past the leap, it's like, well, then now there's this, I don't even know if regression is the right word for it. It's like I gained this set of skills and now I'm like really upset because
two steps forward, one back, man.
You're like, what? Like he sleep right now is just, it's brutal. Like he just doesn't want to take naps. He's afraid of missing on everything. And, but also he's like, he's crawling, he's pulling himself up. That's a problem. We put him down to sleep and he like pulls up on the slats on the crib. And it's like, wants to stand, hang out. And it's like, dude, no, you're supposed to, this is not like stand up time. This is like nap time. Go in there and just lay down. So, it's amazing. I mean, we took him to like his first baseball game the other night and,
I love the picks.
Eating Rita's ice out of his, mother's, little cup there. I'm not sure if we should have been feeding him that, but, he seemed to really enjoy that. Had some bacon at the diner this morning. So we had to get some dad updates. This pod is just as much of a dad pod as it is a golf pod, if we're being real about it. So, So that kind of ties up all of our various threads, so to speak. And let's just set us out with you're flying tomorrow. You were heading overseas for an extended period of time. Cover the Scottish Open, the Open Championship, of course. What are we looking forward to the most? You going to play over there at all?
Yeah, I'm bringing the clubs. Definitely have more of a chance to play next week at the Scottish Open. We're staying right there, right next to North Berwick. I don't even know how to pronounce it. North Berwick.
There you go.
Staying right next to that golf course there in a house. Going to try to play some. Probably won't play every day. But here I say that I'll probably end up playing every day. Just once I get over there and get the, like, it's like, I'll just start calling everywhere. It's like, hey, you got a tee time? I'm back. I'll play whenever. But I'm excited to work the Scottish Open. I love Lynx golf. I think it's going to be really fun to call. I think there's just so much to take in golf over there, as far as just calculations and wind, weather, you know, rain, temperature changes that tend to happen. And I'm excited, man. It's a 2-week stretch. It's going to be really fun. I think the Scottish will be a really good, test kind of going into the Open Championship to see who's kind of rounding into form into what I think is going to be an incredible Open Championship at Hoylake, which I've heard they made some adjustments to that golf course. The scores were kind of low looking back at the last two times they played where Rory and Tiger won. They're fairly low. So if they don't get that weather and those, we'll see. We'll have to go check it out when I get out there and see what that golf course looks like and the changes they made. But man, I'm excited. It's gonna be a fun one.
Rory has a shortest odds heading to this tournament. We just saw Cam Smith, the defending Open Championship, win the Live Tour event in London this last week.
He looked good, man. He looked really good at the US Open.
If he gets it back, I mean, he could be a factor again. I know he said the Masters basically said, yeah, I just got lazy a little bit over the offseason, didn't work as hard as I needed to.
He looked good.
But if he returns to form, I mean, he was top five, top three in the world when he won the Open Championship last year in terms of just like the whole package, I felt like.
No, he looks good, man. It's all about the driver with him. If he's hitting fairways, his iron game can be very solid. And if he just gets on the green the same amount of times as everybody else, he's tough to beat. So, and then another guy too that's played well over there this year. That's kind of like I feel like whether it's the U.S. Open or maybe it's the Masters too. But it seems like Bryson's had a good year.
Yeah, correct.
And you know, it's. We're always going to end up overlooking the Live guys because we don't watch it as much, but I will say look out for Bryson just because it to me with the golf swings I've seen from him, he looks under control and seems like he's got a pretty good feel for what he's trying to do in his golf swing. For so long, it was all over the place, man. Like chasing speed, chasing, all this other bull crap, but it seems like he's kind of got his head on his shoulders and he's playing some good golf. So that'll be an interesting name to follow too, as far as the Live guys go.
Yeah. I mean, he's 35-1 right there. He shares the same odds as Tony Finau, Justin Thomas, Jason Day, Wyndham Clark. Another guy who played well at the Open last year, DJ, another Live guy that could, you know,
yeah, kind of make some noise. I think DJ, if DJ is going to make the Ryder Cup team, he's got to finish first or second. Yeah. In my head, right? Like that's kind
wouldn't that be amazing if we basically had three guys, the last three majors, we had three guys. Well, I mean, John Rahm obviously being a lock for the Euro team, but if three guys who were not really in the picture for the Ryder Cup, like they probably weren't going to be captain's choices, won the final three majors to basically lock it up on points. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare for Zach Johnson. And I mean, even this weekend, I mean, heading to the final round, then he did not play as well on Sunday, but like Denny McCarthy was a guy who was like right on that line of, do we take him? Do we not?
Cam Young
is another guy finished T6 this weekend. So, I mean, that's a whole other sort of can of worms to open up
on the other side though. Sepp Straka.
Sepp, yeah.
I mean, if you're Luke Donald, I mean, Sepp is played in some big moments on the PGA Tour, won twice now. He is as smooth as it gets with his golf swing and his game, plays very quick paced, would be easy to partner with a guy. He played in that DP World Tour earlier this year, had that match with, I can't remember who played who, but he went over there and played with all the guys. So,
are you talking about like that Hero Cup thing where they played GB and I played against Continental Europe?
Yes.
Is that what the name of it was? Tommy Fleet was a captain on the one side. Yeah, there were some names there that were kind of like interesting. I guess, and you tell me if you disagree with this, but I felt like looking at the European kind of team picture in the months leading up to like these past few events, we've seen some of the younger names popping up on tour, like Ludvig Åberg. I was like, ooh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that roster has a lot of depth. I'm a little bit worried about them. And it's almost like these past few winners are guys who have played well.
Ramis Højgaard's another guy. He just won this week. He was kind of on the cusp, and that he may have locked himself into it as well. And then
it feels like that team is all of a sudden starting to fill out. Whereas like, it feels like the American dilemma is going to be, you have too many guys.
Yeah.
And you're trying to decide over a guy who is theoretically just a better overall player, maybe has more success, maybe has a higher world ranking versus like it seems like you're not going to need a lot of length at this Ryder Cup. So it's like, is it, you know, the kind of debate that a lot of people have been talking about right now is, do you take a bomber like Cam Young, who's not putting well, or do you take a 12th guy with a captain's pick and Denny McCarthy, a guy who's just super hot with the flat stick? You know, are decisions being made that are less about overall talent, more about like, do we have a specialist? Who knows, man?
Bo, you're right though. I think the European Ryder Cup team seems to be coming together more, just like you're talking about. The U.S. team is, it's going to be tough to figure out who's going to make that team. I do not envy Zach Johnson whatsoever. I don't mind being Luke Donald right now. I think it's his team's kind of starting to come together, but
listen to this top eight for world points for the Euro team. I'm actually starting to get nervous. John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Sepp Straka, Shane Lowry.
And so Sepp is now seventh?
Sepp is now seventh.
Wow. So he might qualify on points.
Right.
I still think he'd get a pick though, you know, at this point.
I totally agree. And then like you have Justin Rose at 9, Adrian Meronk at 10, Seamus Power 11, and Alex Noren at 12. But I think Ludwig's going to get a pick.
He could get a pick, yeah. Golly.
Rasmus Højgaard at 14.
Højgaard's like, at 14.
There are some players that like, I'm not saying on a day-to-day basis on tour, I take any of these guys over the latter half of the U.S. roster, but you get the right sort of pairings and all of a sudden everyone who thought this was going to be a slam dunk for us to finally win on foreign soil, like it's going to be tough to go out there and get and win this thing.
Yeah. No, it's, I've heard this golf course is so hilly. I'm just thinking in my head, like, man, I'm going to be gassed to come, but really I can't remember the four. Like they play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is nice compared to the President's Cup, which is 4 days. So, it'll be fun though. I'm excited, to see how these teams are shaped up. I tweeted on Threads, I threaded on Threads.
I don't know if you tweeted. Yeah.
It's 81 days till the Ryder Cup. I posted a video. I didn't post a caption. It's a video, GIF or meme, and I posted a video. It said 81 days away. So countdown's on.
I can't wait to see the video, GIF, or meme that you'll post from Marco Simone when you detail the hilliness of the hills. That's going to just really looking forward to that one. Well, I think that does it for us this week. We should have a pretty big name in the feed this week on Thursday. I'm excited about it. I don't like to count eggs. What's the saying? I don't like to count chickens before they hatch. Count eggs before they hatch. You know what I mean.
Yeah, let's just say he's got a good record at Royal Liverpool.
Got a good record at Royal Liverpool, so
put it that way.
What else? Any final thoughts, Smiley?
That's all I got, man.
Hell of a dismount. See you Thursday.
The Smiley Show is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.